Okay, I want to talk to you tonight about the subject, a different kind of leader. A different kind of leader. Mark chapter number 10. Okay, I need to get there too. I told you to get there and I'm not there. Mark chapter number 10. We're going to be in verses 42 through 45 tonight. But before we do that, I want to give you a couple things in your handout. Someone once said that leadership is influence. Leadership is influence. Okay? And so, you know, that's one definition of leadership. And then influence is the ability to move another person in a direction that you believe is important. You know, if I'm a leader, that means I'm able to lead my staff in a direction and lead the church in a direction that I feel would be important. Like, for instance, when I became pastor of the church, I felt that we had to take a stronger role in missions. And so through the years, I've tried to lead our church in that direction of becoming more of just a very missions-minded and focused church on spreading the gospel. You know, then God kind of impressed on my heart that we need to do a better job locally. And so we've been leading the church in that direction with different outreach events that we do here in the community. So that's leadership. Leadership is influence. And then influence is the ability to move another person in the direction you think is important. For instance, some of you in here are supervisors. You're bosses at work, and you've got people that work under you. You know, and if you're a true leader, you're able to lead those people in the direction that you feel is important. But by any definition, it says in your handout, Jesus Christ was a leader like no other. Would you agree with that? Say amen. I mean, he was a leader like no other. Jesus Christ, how many of you tonight, Jesus has greatly influenced your life, huh? Yeah. If leadership is influence, Jesus was quite a leader, wasn't he, Brother Larry?
Amen.
Amen. He was a leader. If leadership is influence, then man, was Jesus ever a leader. And but here's the thing. As we study the life of Christ, we really find some interesting discoveries. In your handout, it says that he was the greatest leader the world's ever known because he was the greatest follower the world has ever known. Man, think about that one. He was the greatest follower the world has ever known. In John, I'm going to read you a verse here. I'm not going to have you turn there, but I just want to read it to you. In John 4:34, listen to this. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. It wasn't about when Jesus walked this earth, his attitude wasn't, you know what? Hey, the world's been waiting for the Messiah to come all these years, and now I'm here. And I'm here, and it's all about me. No, Jesus' attitude was not, it's all about me. His attitude was, it's all about the Father, and it's all about doing the Father's will. He said, look, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Not finish my work, to finish his work. Jesus Christ was the ultimate follower. Jesus Christ was submissive to the Father in all things. In all things, he sought to please the Father and to do the Father's will and to do the Father's work. Jesus was the greatest leader that this world has ever known because he was the greatest follower that the world has ever known. Have you followed God's will in every way? No, I sure haven't. Man, I have messed up so many times. You know, and I know Pastor Larry has too. And Pastor Rich, that has a ring to it, doesn't it? Pastor Rich. And he has too. We have messed up so many times in following God's will. Jesus never did. He was the ultimate follower. Isn't that a neat thought? He was the ultimate follower. He followed Christ in every single way. And that's why he was such a great leader. You know what? I don't think you can be a great leader unless you learn to be a great follower. Amen, Brother Dan. I can see I'm going to have to amen myself tonight. You guys are very tired, I could tell. You know what a leader, a godly leader, you know what a godly leader excels at? A godly leader excels at following Christ to a greater degree than others around him do. That's a good thought. A godly leader just excels at following Christ to a greater degree than others around him do. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And a great leader is somebody that they just look to Christ. They look to Jesus and they just follow Christ to a greater degree than others around them do. Now listen, the world's view of a leader is somebody who consults only himself and his resources. He sets his own direction and then he uses others to accomplish his goals. That's the world's view of a leader. Okay? Somebody who just kind of climbs over people. They climb the ladder and doesn't matter who they step on. And the world's idea of a leader is somebody who is going to accomplish their goals and their agenda and their mission and their vision, and they're going to use other people to accomplish their goals and to get ahead in the world. And it's all about them, and they're going to, in the world's view, a leader is somebody who's self-dependent. They only rely on themselves. They use their resources and they set their direction. But God is looking for committed followers of Jesus Christ to be leaders in His kingdom. He's looking for followers to be leaders. Now that kind of sounds weird, but that's the way it is. Jesus Christ is looking for followers. God is looking for followers of Jesus Christ who will be leaders in His kingdom. You cannot lead unless you've learned to follow. This means that if we're going to be leaders in Christ's kingdom, that means that we lead as Jesus Christ led. We are leaders like Christ led. Now, I want to examine tonight the traits that marked Christ's leadership. Okay? In your handout, the first thing is this, and it's all from Mark 10 here, 42 through 45. The first, and by the way, well, let's read it. All right, let's read verses 42 through 45. But Jesus called them to Him and saith unto them, His disciples. By the way, can I share with you the context? The context is that James and John had just came to Him and they had just said, hey, listen, can one of us sit on your right hand and one of you sit on your left hand in the kingdom? That's what they just asked. And, you got 12 disciples, and these two goomers want to know if they can be right next to Jesus. You know, one on the left and one, you know, they're brothers, James and John. And the bros, man, they want one on the right and one on the left. And in verse 41, it says, and when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Isn't that hilarious? People have not changed any, okay, in 2,000 years. People have not changed a bit. You know, they're like, you know, one of us want to be on your right and one of us want to be on your left when you're ruling and reigning in the kingdom over the earth. You know, and so Jesus, the Bible says in verse 42, He called them to Him. And Jesus is like, okay, boys, it's time for a little leadership lesson here. And so He gathers them together. And now they're in Jesus' leadership 101 class, okay? And He says in verse 42, Jesus called them to Him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. Don't you know James and John's faces were red about this time? It's all about us, and it's all about our agenda, and we want to one be on the right, and one of us want to be on your left. Jesus, what do you think? Well, let's talk about it. And then He sits down and He gives them this. don't you know their faces were red? Because here's how Jesus led. You ready? Number one in your handout. Christ did not selfishly dominate others. It's funny, you know, a lot of husbands think that they're going to really be the leader of their home. And so to them, the leader of their home means they boss around everybody. And that they give orders to their wife and say, "You've got to submit to me." You know, and they bark out orders to their kids and because, man, I'm the leader of my home. No, you're not. No, you're not the leader at all. Okay, you're the bully. You're the bully, but you're not the leader. Okay, in your Bible there, in verse 42, Jesus said there in verse 42, you know that they which are, and I want to kind of define a few words, so stay with me. It's Wednesday night Bible study. Let's look at it, okay? Concentrate. Look at the Bible. Look at the Bible with me. This is what's going to change your life, right? This is what's going to change you from the inside out is the Bible. And it says in verse 42, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles. That phrase, to rule over, it means to be first in rank or power. To be first. And then he says, they exercise lordship over them. That means to lord over. It means to control. It means to subjugate. And then he goes on and he says, and their great ones exercise authority. That phrase means to wield full privilege over. So what is he saying here? He's saying the world's philosophy of leadership is that you dominate, you bully, you control, you manipulate, and you intimidate other people to do what you want them to do. You use your position to get what you want. That's the world's philosophy of leadership. Jesus said they do it real well. And this is what they do out there in the world. And you know, I've worked out there in the world, and before I was in full-time ministry, you work out there in the world, and you know, probably most of us in here have had a new boss come in, and the new boss is going to kind of flex his muscles and start barking out orders to everybody. And Jesus says that's the type of leader that the world expects. But in Mark 10:43, the next verse, he says, but so shall it, what's the next word? Not be among you. In your handout, it says, as we look at Christ's life, as you look at the life of Christ, there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we never see him using his power and authority to selfishly rule over others. In fact, if you'll keep your bookmark here, we're not going to do a lot of turning tonight because all of our points, but I do want to just turn right here, and I want you to go to Philippians chapter 2. Keep your bookmarker here in Mark 10 and flip over with me to the epistle to the Philippians from the Apostle Paul. And he's writing to this church at Philippi. And in Philippians 2, notice what he tells the church here. We read this verse Sunday, and it's kind of our theme verse for the next few weeks as we think about this thing of becoming a church for others. It says in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of what? Others. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but look what he did. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, what's the next three words? He humbled himself. Jesus, the Son of God, the Divine One, God in the flesh, who was equal with God, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And this describes the attitude, the mind of Christ when he walked the earth. And that's why he said right before that, don't just look on your own things. Don't just think about what's going to get you ahead. Look on the things of others. Because that was the mind of Christ. That was the attitude of Jesus. Is that Jesus did not have a leadership style to just selfishly try to control and bully people. Now, what's the application here? Here's the application I want to make for the church tonight. Men who always have to have their way, and when they don't get their way, they get mad. Men who, when they don't get their way, they're gonna defame others, ridicule others. They're going to go to others with their gripes. They're just going to air their grievances. Men that are arrogant and bossy and belligerent and quick-tempered, they are not qualified to be pastors or deacons or to hold any leadership position in the local church because they're poison. They're poison. That's all they are. The Bible says that a leader in God's church is not to be self-willed, is not to be soon angry, is not to be a striker, is not to be double-tongued, is not to be a slanderer. These are worldly leadership techniques. And when a man wants his way, and man, if I don't get my way, I'm going to throw a fit, and I'm going to take my marbles and go home, and I'm going to just, you know, I'm just going to be rude and obnoxious and bossy and belligerent and quick-tempered, not qualified to be a leader in God's church. That is not the leadership style of Jesus Christ. He was submissive to the Father. You know, tonight we're going to be filling out nomination ballots for deacons. And if a man's double-tongued, okay, and if he is, you know, a slanderer, he's just wants his way, man, and he's just bossy and arrogant, belligerent, you don't even want to think about putting that man's name on here. Okay, because he is not qualified to be a leader in Christ's church. The second characteristic of Jesus Christ's leadership, number two, is that Christ led by ministering. You know how he led? He led by ministering. That's how he led. He was a leader who ministered. According to Jesus Christ, what defines a great leader? Look at verse 43, Mark 10, 43. Go back there. Let's go back and see how Jesus defined a great leader. Mark 10, 43. He said, "But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you." Who's going to be great? Who's going to be the leader? Notice, he shall be your what? Minister. In your handout, it says a great leader, according to Christ, is one who ministers to the needs of others. That's a great leader. A great leader is somebody who ministers to the needs of others. We were in the middle of a staff meeting the other day, had all my pastoral staff. We get together on Mondays and we talk about Sunday and we talk about things coming up, and we just try to, you know, we all are running like crazy different directions. So we try to get together once a week, make sure everybody's, you know, on the same page and we know what everybody else is doing. And in the middle of our staff meeting, man, they call on the phone, the secretaries know, you know, not to bother us, but they know that if it's an emergency, that certainly they can, and they called us. And what was it? Someone, one of the single moms in Larry's class, her son cut himself and needed stitches, and knew that Larry used to be a paramedic and came to the church. And what'd you do? He said, "I put a butterfly on him and sent him home." You know, I mean, that, you see, a leader is somebody who ministers to the needs of others. Look at that word minister in verse 43. See that last word there, minister? Do you know what that word, and I'm not really big on this because I don't want you to think I'm trying to act like that I'm this theological genius, you know, and that you have to be like me to figure out the Bible. And that's just not my style. that I'm up here and you're here. You can go to any concordance, and our discipleship people are learning that it's not rocket science to study the Bible, okay? If you're going through discipleship class, you know it's not rocket science. And you know that if you'll look up the word in Strong's Concordance and go to the back, it'll tell you what the Greek word is. And the Greek word is diakonos. Do you know what word, English word, we get from that word minister, diakonos? Do you know what English word we get? Deacon. Diakonos. That's where we get deacon. The word minister here is also translated deacon, diakonos. He said, if someone's going to be great among you, let him be your minister, your deacon. From this word, we get the word deacon. And you know what that word means when you look it up in Strong's Concordance? Now, this is going to shock you. It means to run on errands. To run on errands. An attendant, a waiter at a table, or in other menial duties. That's what that word means. You look it up in Strong's, that's what it says. It's an attendant, a waiter. And that's the word we get deacon from. You see, in your handout, it says Jesus Christ was a great leader because his entire life and attitude was characterized by ministry. You know, I think about that passage that we read recently where Jesus Christ over there in Matthew chapter 9, remember? Hey, remember? The Bible says that Jesus, he went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus is going around there in Matthew 9:35. He's going city to city and he's ministering and he's healing wounds and he's doing all these things. And then all of a sudden, he's healing as many as he can. But then he looks at the multitudes and his first thought was, how in the world can we shepherd these sheep? That's his first thought. How can we shepherd these sheep? What does a shepherd do? You know what a shepherd does? A shepherd serves the sheep. A shepherd takes care of the sheep. Sheep are just filthy, stupid animals. They are. Study it out. Sheep are the dumbest animals on earth. And a shepherd takes care of the sheep. A shepherd spends his life ministering to the needs of the sheep, making sure they don't roam off, making sure they don't fall in a ditch, making sure they don't go off a mountain cliff, you know, making sure that they're taken care of. The shepherd cares and ministers to the sheep. Jesus Christ is called the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. Jesus Christ was constantly ministering to the sheep. Now let me apply this to us. Here's the application. If a man does not have a ministry mindset, he is not qualified for leadership in Christ's church. He's not qualified. Jesus taught a leader is somebody who is your minister. It doesn't matter how smart the guy is. Oh, we need to have so-and-so be a deacon. He's smart. Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say, whosoever will be great among you shall be the smartest. Oh, this guy, man, he's really successful in business. He's got a really good business know-how. He'd be a great deacon. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how smart they are. Doesn't matter how good-looking they are. Doesn't matter how good they are in business. It doesn't matter how much Bible they know. I've known people that know the Bible backwards and forwards, and they're as carnal as the day is long. Because they've never applied it. They have a head knowledge, but they don't have a heart for ministry. You know what? You can learn, and that's why I love our discipleship course. Because it's not all about head knowledge. It's about learning how to minister to people. That's the balance in our discipleship course. It teaches you how to reach out to other people. Let me tell you something. If you've got a head full of Bible knowledge, but you don't have a ministry mindset for people, that Bible knowledge won't do you any good at all. The Bible says knowledge alone puffeth up. Charity edifieth. Amen? Yes, yes. If you don't have a heart of love for people, you don't have a ministry mindset, you're not qualified to be a deacon in this church. You're not qualified. I don't care how smart you are, how much experience you have. I don't care how long you've been in the church or any church. I don't care, you know, how much a person goes around puffing up their chest, acting like they know everything. If they don't have a ministry mindset, if they are not actively caring and ministering for people, then they cannot be a deacon or a pastor. The word deacon itself means minister. That's the very meaning of the word. The Bible says that a deacon is to use the office of deacon. In other words, he's to be busy ministering to people for Christ. A deacon's somebody who's ministering, man, to people. That's a deacon. He's using the office, not filling the office. You don't fill the office of deacon. Some people think a deacon is somebody who fills the office and they sit around in meetings and they talk about the budget and they talk about the finances. Fooey on that. Listen, folks, what a deacon does is a deacon is somebody who is ministering and helping people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what a deacon does. A deacon's someone who, man, just has a heart for people, just wants to minister to people, just wants to help people. He said, don't fill the office. A deacon should use it. He should be helping people, ministering to people. You see, Christ was the greatest leader the world's ever known. You know why? He led by ministering. Number three, Christ ministered by serving. He led by ministering, and then he ministered by serving. In your handout, it says a Christ-like leader has a ministry mindset. We just learned that. But what does that attitude cause a leader to do? If you have a ministry... Now think with me, church, okay? I know it's Wednesday, you're tired. It's almost 8 o'clock, but listen and think. If you have a ministry mindset for people, what does that lead you to do? Huh? Exactly right. It leads you to serve. And in your handout, it says in Mark 10:44, Jesus taught that it leads a person to serve. Look at it with me. Verse 44. Right after he said, if you want to be great, he'll be your minister. Verse 44, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the what? The servant of all. Jesus is teaching that if you want to be first in position or influence, then you serve others. Did you hear me? If you want to be first in influence, if you want to influence, leadership is influence. And Jesus said, if you want to influence people, serve others. In your handout, it's got Galatians 5:13 written to the church there. For brethren, he said, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, what? Serve one another. Do you know what we're going to be doing in eternity? Does anybody know? You got it. The Bible says in Revelation 22:3, and they shall serve the Lamb. You know what you're going to be doing in eternity? Serving the Lamb, Jesus. And I believe our position of service in eternity is going to be determined by our level of service on earth. I really do. I think there's different levels. God is a God of structure and order, and I think that in eternity, our responsibility and our authority is going to be determined by how we served on earth. What's the application here? Here's the application. If a man doesn't exhibit a servant's heart, he's not qualified for leadership in the local church. You see, we don't elect leaders in hopes that the position will inspire them to serve. We elect leaders because they're already serving. Does that make sense? Some people think, well, let's make him a deacon. He's sharp. And if we make him a deacon, then maybe he'll really get involved and start serving. Is that right or wrong? We don't elect somebody to be a deacon in hopes that it'll jumpstart him and get him serving. No, we elect somebody to be deacon because they're already serving. They've already exhibited a servant's heart. You know, I think about Brother Robbie Phillips, who we elected as a deacon last year. And Brother Robbie is just very quiet. He's very unassuming, man. But I tell you what, you ask the guy to do anything, and if it is at all possible, he will do it for you. The guy just has a servant's heart. He had served faithfully in the teen department for years. If whoever the teen leader was at the time, he'd been through different teen leaders and supported every one of them. And man, if they needed a game for a youth activity, he'd build it. You know, he'd build it. man, we need somebody to teach the 8:30 teen class, boys. Okay, I'll do it. You know, we need somebody that, would you take off work for 3 days and go to the fall retreat, and would you head up all the game times and build the games and create the games? Okay, I'll do it. Just anything you wanted, Brother Robbie was there to do it. He had a ministry mindset. And as a result, our church said, you know what? That guy'd make a good deacon. He's serving. You know, I think about Brother Rob Hall. Brother Rob Hall served for years and years in this ministry. No pay, no recognition outwardly. He just served behind the scenes. And he was basically, I mean, he was heading up probably 80% of the youth group before he was ever on staff. Just doing it as a layperson, working a full-time job. And then God saw that and God promoted him. And now he's on our staff. You know, the other night at Rich's ordination, man, we went through 9.5 years in all the areas of service that Rich served in. And God said, there's a guy with a servant's heart. I'm going to promote him. You see, God promotes people who are already serving. He doesn't promote people who are talking about it. Yeah, one day I'm going to really serve God. After this or after that, or, you know, I'm going to serve God. No, God promotes people who are already serving. You see, Christ was a great leader because Christ had a ministry mindset. And the ministry mindset led him to serve. And then the last thing in your handout there I want you to get is this. And that is that, how did he serve? Christ served by sacrificing. He served by sacrificing. In verse 45, okay, if you'll look there with me, verse 45, after you write that in, look at verse 45. What does he say next? What does Jesus say next? He said in verse 44, whosoever you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And that again means deacon. Okay? He said Christ came to minister and to give his life a what, church? Ransom for many. Jesus sacrificed in every area. The Bible says there, Christ, and I'm not done, so please don't put this up when we finish. Christ was a giver, not a taker. He sacrificed in every area. I want you to look down at the bottom there at that verse, 2 Corinthians 8:9. It says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Listen, Christ spent his life in sacrifice for others. I want you to take your Bible, look again at verse 45. Okay, look at it again. And notice here, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to what, church? Minister. Listen, that is our word, deacon. Christ was the ultimate deacon. He was the ultimate minister. The ultimate sacrifice was his death on the cross for us. Now we are to be a living sacrifice for him. What's the application? If a man has the attitude, I'll serve when it's convenient. I'll serve when it's convenient. I'll serve when things go my way. You know, and I'll do things when I feel like it. I'll serve when other people deserve my service. That man's not qualified for leadership in Christ's church. In Christ's economy, he's just a little peon. That's all he is. Just a little tiny peon is all he is. That's all he is. You see, in Jesus' economy, the guy who's chiefest is the guy who's the minister, the guy who's the servant, the guy who's sacrificing, the guy who's giving, the guy who, man, I mean, it's just all about others in his life. It's not about me, it's about others. A leader for God will sacrifice personal preferences, personal opinions, and personal recognition for the good of the ministry. He realizes that it's not about him. It's about Christ. It's about Christ and it's about Christ's church. And so as you look at this handout tonight, we see a different kind of leader that Jesus taught about. Look at it with me again. What is a different kind of leader? Here it is. Christ did not selfishly dominate others. And then we said that, number two, He led by what, church? Ministering. And then He ministered by what? Serving. And then He served by what? Sacrificing. A different kind of leader. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to ask the ushers to prepare those ballots too, to be prepared for that. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. And I want you right now to seek your heart. And I want you to ask yourself, number one, are you a different kind of leader like Christ was? Number two, I want you to ask yourself, you know, who in this church has exhibited that kind of leadership? Who in this church serves? They minister. They sacrifice for this ministry. Who in this church has a servant's heart, just a heart of ministry, just a heart to sacrifice for the church and for the good of the ministry? Who in this church that you think of right now exhibits this kind of leadership style that Christ taught was a true leader? Heads bowed, eyes closed. And I want you to just, you know, think about that. Think about your own life. Are you a leader like Christ was? Is that how you lead? Father, I pray now that You will bless the Bible study tonight. Lord, I want so much to be a leader like You were, Jesus. And I want so much, God, to have a heart for ministry. I want to have a ministry mindset. I want to minister by serving. I want to serve by sacrificing. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, that You'll fill me with Your Spirit. Fill me with Your power, Lord Jesus, that I will be that leader that You were, that You will just flow through me, Jesus, and may I be a godly leader for this church. I pray that You'll fill me with Your Spirit to provide godly leadership, sacrificial leadership. Lord, that I will exhibit a servant's heart. God, I need this so much, and I pray You'll fill me with Your Spirit. And I pray that You will raise up deacons in our church that lead by ministering, that minister by serving, and that serve by sacrificing. God, I pray, Father, that You'll raise up godly men like this in our church that are different. A different kind of leader like You were. We love You, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.